Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, October the 3rd, 2025. 15 coming up on 16 minutes past the hour. And we're joined in studio by Christian Pearson and Matt Morgan, who were both at the big party last night that we had to keep a secret from everybody because of the guest we had and the videos we had, and we didn't want it to get out to Mary Ellen. But the cat is out of the bag last night, and what a night it was. We've been talking about it here this morning, and we wanted to have somebody on who I used to have on quite a bit. I was so glad to get reacquainted with him last night. Gave a great speech last night, and so glad to have him on the phone line right now. He is the former head of the Democratic Party here in Ohio. What a pleasure it is to welcome to these microphones, as it was last night, David Pepper. David, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you? It was great to be with all of you last night.
Yeah, we're all, you know, waking up this morning, getting up to do the show, but what a night it was. What was the night like for you, David?
You know, I just had, first of all, you should, beyond this job, you should go into the professional party planning profession, because that was an amazing lineup you put together. So thanks for you and your team and everyone on the call. You guys did a great job. I just have to say, one, obviously we were honoring just an incredible woman, Mary Ellen Withrow, and maybe more Marion County in Ohio than anywhere else. People realize what an incredible career she's had since, you know, taking on a school board race and then going up from there and never looking back. It really was special to honor her. As I don't know what you've talked about yet, but to have everyone from Al Gore to Bill Clinton to Bob Taft, a really good bipartisan group, it was so much fun. But as I said there, the other thing that was so wonderful was we're just in such a, you know, the moment, whatever party you're in, it's so divided. People have sort of, you know, we're in the middle of a shutdown. And in Columbus, we're supposed to have a map for the next districts, and we don't even have one. Everything seems so broken. Everything seems so nasty. And it was such a good reminder last night, not only Mary Ellen Withrow's career, but who was there, that politics can still be and must be about public service, and to have people celebrating her service, as I said, your videos and all the words and all the looking back, it just made me feel a lot better about the world. And I just think we need to, all of us, cling to the notion that politics can actually be about public service, and not let that be forgotten. And as I said last night, I worry that if we don't remind ourselves of that, and particularly remind younger generations of that, that we could lose that, and all of a sudden in the future all people think about is, oh, terrible people go to politics and there's no point in doing it and everyone's nasty and worse, and you really lose something when it happens. So last night really I found to be uplifting in that way.
You know, David, there are two points about last night I want to talk about, and then I want to talk about a couple current events here. The first one was, we started with a 17-minute video on Mary Ellen's life and times, and it's hard to cram that many years into 17 minutes, but some of the things that were highlighted, her being sworn in as Treasurer of the United States, campaigning for Bill Clinton here in Ohio with John Glenn, being at the convention, speaking around the country as Treasurer of the United States, and I think for a lot of people, that video, looking back, brought back a sense that you've kind of spoken to here of what politics used to be and what Mary Ellen's career was all about.
It really did. I mean, you had me speak only about a speaker after that video. So I know you were like, wow, it was a little long, but I put all in. Every minute was great. I mean, I could have watched that for 30 minutes because it was so refreshing to see what it presented, which is and her talking about, I loved every minute of it. I mean, how many people in Congress right now, if you said to them, do you like what you're doing, would say, I loved every minute of it. They wouldn't. It's miserable. But she said, I loved every minute of it. The higher I went, the more I enjoyed it. I mean, she loved service, and she was doing it the right way, and you could feel from the video that others did as well. And by the way, that's why I ran for city council years ago myself, and I love that. And so it really was, I think, a reminder. And, you know, by the way, good Mary Ellen Withrow took it to the highest level, but I think it needs to be the same for people who run for school board and only do their service on school board. That's wonderful as well, or city council. And I do, and one thing that I've done lately is I've been out and helping people run for school board, and I had the same feeling when I'm helping people locally that video gave me, because people at that level, often it still is about service and not about all the nastiness and the brokenness. So yeah, I think the video, you did a great job. I mean, the music and the words and the praise of her, but also what she said about service and how sort of noble it is, but also how much she enjoyed it, which, you know, my career wasn't as long as hers, but I look back at, I was a city council member, county commissioner. I ran later for statewide office. I look back, I loved my time in service at the city hall and county commission in Cincinnati. And I look back and I was honored to be able to do some important things for my community. And that's what you felt from the video, that she sort of, you know, by the way, I never knew this. One of my favorite things, and I've written about it in one of my novels, is the states, each state having its own quarter. And so I also learned things from your video. I did not know that she did that. But I think you know, among the great quarters are the ones that each state got to say. And I think we have John Glenn on ours, I can't remember now. But I love that that our quarter, that she came up with that idea that every state could have its own quarter.
Well, you know, and David, what I think is interesting about that video, and I talked to a few people about it last night, is that Mary Ellen obviously is still very much with us, and Mary Ellen is still doing things. She comes on the radio. It's always great to get her opinion on things. She still gives speeches when asked to do it. But, you know, it's been 31 years since she left public office. When you see her in action, you understand why she was approached 3 times to run for governor.
Yes.
Yeah.
She feels like a governor. I mean, you see it now. I mean, she has a stature. She has a sort of, you know, fortitude, very direct. I mean, I mentioned last night, I love that. I was telling my wife this morning, because, you know, I drove back to Cincinnati. I got home pretty late. And I was explaining, oh, my gosh, it was this amazing event. All these people were there. By the way, by keeping it a surprise, the guests didn't know who else was coming either. So, you know, I walk in that room, I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's Bob Taft, there's Richard Cordray, there's Seth Strickland, and then the videos, you've got Al Gore. You know, Sam Donaldson, by the way, could not have been more funny. That was an amazing video he did. But, no, I think that you can see, I mean, when you see her in those videos and when you see her still, she's got the sort of bearing of someone who is in charge. And you could absolutely, I mean, I would love to have seen those conversations because, yes, well, let's put it this way. I was a party chair once. If you had a treasurer like Mary Ellen Withrow, yes, you'd be thinking, oh, that person should run for governor next. I mean, she feels like a governor.
Yeah.
And what's amazing is, you know, and you have her on your show, so people probably know this, but at 95, I mean, she's still as sharp as a whip. And you could feel that last night, and it sounds like you feel it on the show whenever she's on.
Absolutely. And the other point I wanted to make about last night, and it was great to have, obviously, a lot of very strong Democrats in the room, but you had Heather Hill, who's running for governor as an independent right now. You had former Governor Bob Taft. Obviously, his great-grandfather was President of the United States, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. And one of the moments that sticks out in my mind is Bob Taft was on late in the show, and there were a lot of things that were very Democratic-geared throughout the show. And And during the show, I kept thinking, I wonder how Bob Taft is taking this, because he didn't know who the guests were going to be. And he got up there and laid the crowd away with his opening line, you know, I'm the Democrats' favorite Republican. And then talked about how if Mary Ellen had run for governor in 98, he probably would not have won. Those moments, in the midst of what happened with Charlie Kirk and in the midst of what happened with Jimmy Kimmel, that's a wonderful moment.
It really was. And by the way, I really liked, I loved that you had Heather Hill. I thought I enjoyed listening to her. I thought her words were amazing. I thought she was very good. And then, yeah, Bob Taft, same thing. I mean, he was great. And he and I serve on the Ohio State Parks Foundation board together. And same thing, like it's a mix of Democrats and Republicans, but it's just not partisan. You know, we all love our state parks. So those moments where we're all together, like last night or the other ways, but Bob Taft is a wonderful man. As you said, I mean, Ted Strickland and Bob Taft, who both were there last night, are as nice and well-meaning and well-intentioned and just good people as it gets. And whenever you see them, it's a reminder of that they're just good people. They're nice people. And I don't think Bob Taft would have thought twice about being in a room that, you know, it was a mixed crowd, but he's just a good person. And I've really enjoyed getting to know him, more after my time in service than during. But yeah, he's a great guy.
It was a great night. David, I got to ask you, every time we talk about the Democrats in Ohio, you being the former head of the Democratic Party here in Ohio, we've got no office holders statewide that are Democratic anymore.
This is
a problem for the Democratic Party. But we do have elections coming up next year. Governor DeWine will not be the governor anymore. What's the state of the Democratic Party in Ohio, and what happened?
What happened in the past, or what's happening going forward?
What got us to this point?
It's a combination of things. I mean, obviously, when Trump has been on the ballot in Ohio, he's done very well, and he's carried a lot of people with him. But I'd say looking forward, I actually think there's a possibility that, you know, and you're seeing it. I mean, we just saw the news last couple of days that jobs were lost in August and September. I think costs are clearly the dominant issue in voters' minds. It reminds me a lot of 06, and 06 is when Sherrod Brown ran for Senate, Ted Strickland ran for governor, and it was the second midterm of a Republican president who wasn't doing very well, and Democrats sort of, there was a swing back in the other direction. And right now, I think Sherrod Brown and Amy Acton are the best ticket combined since 06, and they're running in a year where I think, you know, we know, you never know what's going to happen in a year, but right now, it looks as if it's going to be one of those years where there's a big pushback. Even during the shutdown right now, people are saying, you know, it's Trump's issue and healthcare costs are too high and Democrats are fighting to lower them. So even the way that's playing out isn't good for the party in power. So I think that despite some struggles, especially in the 24 and 22 cycles, I actually think that the Democrats have reason to be hopeful. They have a very good top of the ticket. Again, there's been a polling done that Amy Acton literally has the highest job approval rating of any figure in the state of Ohio. That happens to be also the person running for governor as a Democrat. But so she's very well respected. Sherrod Brown obviously had a tough loss, but overperformed by 8 points. I think Vivek Ramaswamy, when looked closely, he is framed, by the way, because of his own, you know, because of his own words and presence, his negatives already are very, very high. And I think in hindsight, Republicans may look back and wonder, hey, why did we push Tressel out for Vivek Ramaswamy? Because I think every poll I've seen so far, he's very unpopular. And I think that's why every poll so far has Amy Acton either tied or ahead. The challenge for the Democratic Party right now, and Kathleen Clyde, the new chair, is working on this, is they've got to fill out the rest of the ticket. There are several slots. I think auditor, treasurer. We talked to Mary Ellen with her last night. Treasurer and some other slots where they need to make sure that there's a candidate in every slot. And I would say that needs to happen very quickly. So there's a lot of talk about primaries. If I were party chair right now, my biggest concern would be you've got a very good top of the ticket. The top of the ticket is usually what determines the outcome. So let's make sure we have a very good overall ticket and make sure that we have state representative candidates running all over the state.
And on that note, before we talk about the government shutdown, David, this week I think the big news here in Ohio was that Tim Ryan had a self-imposed deadline to get into the gubernatorial race of September 30th. September 30th came and went. Through his publicist, he sent out a statement saying he needed a few more days to think about this, but he thinks he would do a, this paraphrase, he thinks he would do a great job as governor. It doesn't sound like somebody who is backing away from this. He certainly didn't say no, which he could have done. Do you think he's going to get in this? And if he does, is this a good thing?
I don't know if he is. I mean, I really, it's hard to read. I mean, I think it's, I'll just be very clear, it's very, very late. My best advice to candidates from my own experience when I was chair or even before was, and this is anyone listening, the smartest thing you can do in politics is you start early. Because you get to get everywhere. You have to raise money. A race for governor is a two-year thing. It's not a one-year thing. And if you look back, those who start late, you make it very hard for yourself. So I think it's very late. So even though I heard what he said, I also think October is incredibly late to be entering a race. I think in this case, a primary would not be helpful for Democrats. I mean, my view as a chair, and I learned this painfully over time, is if there is one, the party has to stay neutral. I don't think the party's pre-endorsing the way the Republicans did with Vivek. I don't think you want the party endorsing. That would be a mistake. But I would say in this case, you know, if you're Amy Acton or the party, you, knowing that Vivek Ramaswamy is raising a lot of money and is a billionaire, you'd rather spend the next 6 months gearing up to run against him and not spending your time back and forth in some knockdown, drag-out primary where, you know, Amy Acton and Tim Ryan are saying things against each other as opposed to against Vivek Ramaswamy. It also means that you're spending through all your money. It also makes it harder to raise money when Vivek already has a lot of money. So I think in this case, you know, if Vivek had a primary, it'd be a little less problematic. But I think when he doesn't have one, and when he's got a money advantage, I think especially when it's so late and Amy Acton's been running since the beginning of the year, I actually think it would really undermine a Democrat. So, I hope it doesn't happen, to be really blunt. I think that especially when it's this late, I just think entering at this very late date would be a problem. The thing that the Democrats should be focused on is not primaries in the races where we have candidates, but filling the seats where we don't have candidates. That's the top priority. I was a chair during a primary with Richard Cordray and Dennis Kucinich and Joe Schiavone, and we stayed neutral. And my role, rather than being the guy who was advocating for my candidates, basically I was referee for 6 months. So in this case, especially when it's so late, I just think it really makes it harder to ultimately win in November if you're stuck refereeing a primary, you know, until May or whatever it is.
You know, David, and we're going to get to the government shutdown next, but would you like to run for any of these offices statewide?
I'm good where I am, so I'm trying to be helpful to people. I've tried to, you know, one of my big things is, in addition to helping people on the high end, and I've been trying to help different people there, I also am very, very passionate about making sure that Democrats don't leave seats uncontested. And one of the biggest problems, and this is what I've written these books about, the biggest, you know, the things that are really hurting democracy are state houses that are so gerrymandered, just like Ohio's. And often the gerrymandering gets so bad that people don't even run. See, of all these people in the office, and this is bad if it happens on either side, where you have uncontested races, and no one runs, and I think politicians get so much worse if they don't even face an opponent. They're guaranteed re-election. that lack of accountability is a problem in any walk of life, including politics. So the other, so what I try and do right now is help other people, and I've started an organization where we try and help candidates who are running in some of the toughest districts, who often get no help, and that's why no one runs. So I'm happy doing all that. Who knows? Maybe I'll run down the road. I'm certainly not going to run for one of the, those spots I just mentioned. I've run for them, but we need to get some really good people in those slots, and I'm happy to help make that happen and hopefully help support them. But I also really spent a lot of my time trying to make sure that in some of the more gerrymandered Republican districts in Ohio, that we have candidates who actually run so that people in office don't feel a complete lack of accountability, which they generally, of course, feel if they don't even have an opponent.
And David, I think the big news, obviously, this week, we're in a government shutdown. The Democrats are saying this is about health care, protecting Medicaid for people, Obamacare. The Republicans, Speaker Johnson, I think, was on Good Morning America the other day, saying Democrats want to protect health care for illegal immigrants, undocumented people. Is this going to end anytime soon? And who wins and loses in this?
I mean, I thought at first, just a few days ago, that it maybe would draw out for a while because no one, I think, really has an incentive to end it. And by the way, the illegal immigrant thing has been debunked. And it is a concern. I mean, Ohioans and people around the country are about to see a huge spike in their health care costs. And I think that's a good ground to stand on as Democrats saying we want to fix that. But there was a story, I don't know if you saw this, you might have seen this morning, in my groggy waking up after our party last night. The Wall Street Journal has a story that even the White House is now worried that this health care cost issue is a real problem for them. I mean, we said it early on, the cost of everything is the dominant issue. I mean, whether it's our spiking electric bills in Ohio, whether it's, groceries, healthcare costs. And I think the story this morning basically showed two things. One, most people are blaming Trump and Republicans for the shutdown. Number two, the White House is very concerned about this the Affordable Care Act cost issue. And those two stories make me think, well, maybe if the White House is concerned that this is really bad politically for them, and they see that they're being blamed, which they are by a significant margin, for the shutdown. And normally that's what happens. If you're, if the average American looks at Washington, they see who's in the White House, they see that one party controls everything, they're typically, this would have happened if it was a Democrat too, they're typically going to blame that person for the shutdown. Right now they're blaming Trump and the Republicans in Congress. And the cost issue is really cutting through. So more than I would have thought even a few days ago, I think Trump may start feeling pressure to try and get out of it because I think they are taking on water right now because of both the shutdown and the prospect of these health costs skyrocketing very quickly in Ohio and a lot of other places.
David, it was so good to see you last night. We had not talked in a long time. I enjoyed our conversation, and I'm sure we'll be talking a whole lot more, and that is a very good thing. Thank you for coming last night,
hey,
and thank you for coming on.
Good talking. Take care.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
David Pepper, former head of the Democratic Party here in Ohio, and he was there last night. Christian Pearson, Matt Morgan in studio, and phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Christian, any thoughts on what David Pepper had to say? He, a lot of people feel, was the last really good Democratic Party chair in Ohio.
I would, with respect to who's in office now and who has been in office, he's the only one who's actually won, had candidates win statewide, The last, when Sherrod Brown last won in 18, David Pepper was the chair. I don't know when he came into office, but I'm sure it was, Obama's second term. He won Ohio. 2014, we don't really count. 18, we won all those seats on the Supreme Court. In 16, we got really close to winning some seats on the Supreme Court. In 6, he got Strickland to run for, David Pepper got Strickland to run for the Senate in 16, but we had a good candidate for the Senate in 16. So he's the last chair that has results, as I'll put it that way. And it was what he's done since he has left. I think he left in 21. He's done so much great advocacy work, as he was talking about. He's written several books. You know, I know I said this in the first hour, but to, you know, follow him as a speaker, he gave a great speech last night. And I know it was, you may have been, you know, it was definitely on the partisan end of it, but he did a really good job of tying Mary Ellen's public service. And I think, you know, that's why a lot of people still love her, is because she was such a good public servant.
That video, you know, and it was 17 minutes, and I kept saying all week, I've got to shorten this thing. But, you know, I'm kind of glad in a way that I didn't, because the reaction, as David said there, was very positive to seeing her in her day doing her thing. And I think people, 31 years is a long time since you've been in office, and I think a lot of people have forgotten that in a way. And they've seen her just giving speeches at events and living her life, and they forget that she was on a train with Bill Clinton campaigning for president across Ohio. They forget she was sworn in by the Vice President of the United States, and everybody from Marion came to Washington, D.C. in very cold March. They forget that she was at the conventions. They forget that she spoke all over the country and was on talk shows. I think that was brought back to people last night in the video format and in Mary Ellen in her own words.
I think a lot of people in Marion, and we've talked about this before, but they take Mary Ellen for granted in a sense, because they see her all the time, because she's so accessible to a lot of people. They forget that, you know, and even I talked about this in my remarks last night, you know, it took me a while to realize the profound effect that she's had on so many people across the state and across the country, that, you know, she's not just from Marion County. She was, you know, she was a state office holder, you know, had to be confirmed by the Senate to become, you know, Treasurer of the United States. So I think, I don't know, it put in the context that, yeah, she's here, like, this is her hometown, but she's a national figure.
Yeah. Matt, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think that, I don't know. I mean, I think it's rather interesting that he said he doesn't think that Tim Ryan should get in the race. You know, I thought that was rather interesting. But, I mean, I don't know exactly. I mean, I guess he gave his whole reasoning as to why he thought so, but I think more people tends to be better than less, at least. I don't know. I hope he gets
I don't know about that whole thing. I don't know.
I certainly understand what, you know, if Tim Ryan was going to get it, if his deadline was like May or something, I could understand that.
But now we have to take this in steps, because he was not going to get in when it was still a question if Sherrod Brown was going to get in. And so when Sherrod Brown said he was running for Senate, that's when Tim Ryan said, hey, you know, I'm thinking about running for governor. And I think he even said, because Sherrod Brown is not going to do that. And then he gave a self-imposed deadline, which, unfortunately for him, fell on the same day that the government shutdown happened. You're not going to announce your candidacy because you're going to get wiped off of every newspaper in the country because of the government shutdown. So what was he to do? I mean, I don't know.
That's true. But, you know, going off of what, you know, and I've sort of, you know, I've thought this for a bit, because, you know, I've, you know, a primary, it would certainly, from an observer's perspective, be interesting. But, you know, Amy Acton has already, you know, she's made the rounds in a lot of
counties.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
now listen.
I know.
I hate to get into this.
She hasn't been to Marion. She hasn't been to Marion.
All I want to say is, and listen, I will give anybody a pass. You know, people are busy. But Heather Hill has been on the show. Vivek Ramaswamy has been on the show. Amy Acton has been invited for more than a year now to come on this show. She has not done it. I think she could have found time in a year to come on. DeWine has been on this show, the sitting governor.
Yeah.
And I don't have any hostility toward this woman. I want to talk to her. I still want to talk to her. I don't know what's going on there.
My point that I'm alluding to. Or, like, I know that, like, she went to Cardington High School, and she got a really big reception.
Well, who
like,
they knew got that? Who knew that?
It was very well advertised on among Cardington and Morrow County people. Not so much Marion County. But, like, you know, I've seen her on her social. She's
herein lies the problem,
she is,
folks.
Why Cardington?
Because they know how to do a small-town Democratic Party in Cardington. I didn't tell the story of when last night when Mary Ellen and I went to Cardington to speak.
Yeah, they did a much better job than Marion. I mean, I hate to ask the question this morning, but where was the Democratic Party last night? I mean, they certainly knew somewhat that it was happening. I don't quite understand that.
Well, you know, as we discussed, I don't think the Democrats are completely, you know, I don't think that's completely fair to knock them for not being there when there were discussions that happened off the air that, you know, we didn't really want to, you know, for planning and such. So it's not fair to knock the Marion Democrats on this. But, you know, on the point of, you know, Amy Atkins, you know, she's been campaigning more as it's, you know, as the, days have progressed, and she's been getting official endorsements from the local parties. I don't know if they do that, but she's had more, as Tim Ryan continues to wait, people only think, hey, there's only one candidate. Now, I know that's not what you, the people who real pay attention a bunch like you and I, that might not be what we think, but a lot of people think that Amy Acton's the only one running. So, and as she's been out in all these places, you know, they think...
Well, we know when she comes to Marion, because here's what's really going to be the tick-off. If she comes to Marion, because I, listen, again, not trying to be rude here, I've seen the Democratic Party locally in action, as have a lot of people. I don't think they do a good job with press releases. I don't think they do a good job letting people know what's going to happen. Are they going to usher this woman in on like a private email chain? And nobody will have any idea that she's here. It will get no coverage, and we'll find out after the fact, which, again, will just irritate people all the more and do her absolutely no good. You don't... It's like speaking to the choir. You don't have to win over the local Democrats. What are you coming to do, rally them?
This could be... I could be of more help in this discussion if I were still...
Are you on the email chain, Christian? Because if you get an email that Amy Acton's swinging by Marion, Ohio, you would pass that along, would you not?
I don't think I'm on the email chain, no.
Oh, you've been taken off, too.
No.
Oh, Lord.
I don't think I was ever on it. I just
know. I thought you were running the Facebook page.
I am running the Facebook page.
They wouldn't put that up there?
They certainly would put it up there.
And
but
you certainly would call me, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a public event. But I don't. I think the problem for Tim Ryan would be that a lot of you, it's not my opinion. It's the fact that I've seen I've seen some news or some pundits have spoken about this, that a lot of the, you know, unions and you know, other organizations, they are either endorsing Vivek or not endorsing at all. Which, you know, or some have endorsed Acton, but you know, the point of this is, there's not going to be much room for Tim Ryan in terms of picking up endorsements. Which, I mean, I might be proved wrong.
You know,
that's what I've seen in the news.
Here's the problem. If Tim Ryan gets in, and this is just a novice, I am not a politician. This is just a novice point. And for people who say I don't say things about the Democrats, well, here you go. Here's what I see happening. If Amy Acton continues to run her campaign in exactly the way we've described this morning, evading the press, and it's not just me, by the way. Find any local people outside of one television station in Columbus. Who else has she talked to in a year? You know, so that's a problem. And if you continue to run that way, and Tim Ryan gets in, and he's press-friendly... You know, I don't care that he gets in late. That's going to work for him if she keeps going down this road, because he's going to get copy. If he'll talk about the government shutdown, if he'll talk about COVID coming back, if he'll talk health care, this shutdown is about health care. Who better to talk to than a doctor?
That's true. But I'm sure you can see why people might think you... Not that you have it in for her, but the fact that...
No, I don't... You know what? I don't...
I'm not sure other journalists are as vocal as you about...
No, I'm... Listen, I don't have it in for this woman. I'm just saying, where is she? The road to the governor's mansion comes right through here. Five governors, right through here.
Yeah, see, it's moments like this where I don't have anything to say.
Is this really being rude? I mean, really? I mean, honestly, have I said something here about the woman that's rude?
No, but I think I think if she, you know, if she were tuning in this morning for the first time, or a supporter of hers were tuning in today for the first time, they would think, you know, why is he saying all these things? Well, without having listened to your show for the past year,
I have no critique of the woman's politics at all. I don't think I've ever said anything about her politics. I don't think I've ever said anything about her personal life. I don't think I ever would. What I'm talking about is her dealing with the press. That's all.
I mean, she certainly hasn't done any, I mean, that I've seen at least. I haven't even seen the one interview with the Columbus Channel that she...
If she comes in and does an interview, then I can't say it anymore.
That's true.
Shut me up.
I don't know. It's minutes.
Here's the problem. You know what has... Here's why it sounds bad. Because Vivek Ramaswamy did it. And he obviously is the front runner in the Republican Party. He did it quite a while ago now. He did it back in April.
And you think that if Tim Ryan gets in, he would do it?
I do. I do. I think he'd have to. He's got to get out there. So what I'm saying is, I did not ever imagine that it would take this long. And covering gubernatorial races for a long, long time, I've never had a candidate that was so hard to get to.
I think...
Who was not an incumbent.
I know it's politics, but, you know, I think she's a little unique in the fact that she's not by trade. And I'm just trying to play the other side here. That she was... She left the Department of Health during the, you know, summer of 2020 because she was... Not because she was being hounded by, you know, the anti-mask people, by the Trump people, by a lot of people. And she was, you know, they were at her house. They were calling her cell phone.
It should not have happened. I think at the time I said that.
And I think she's probably wary of... I mean, that's my guess. I mean, I can't obviously speak for Amy Acton.
Listen, whether you... And this is not me, but I'm saying, whether as a voter in Ohio you like Amy Acton or not, you've got to give the woman credit for doing those press conferences during the DeWine era when COVID was at its height. She was who everybody turned to because DeWine was not a governor. He was the governor. He was not a doctor. You know, we wanted to hear from a doctor, and she was the doctor we heard from in Ohio. And I believe she's been honored by the JFK Institute for what she did during that time. So even if people in Ohio, you know, some people grumble about it, but she's been honored around the country for that. You cannot. She's got good things to talk about, and I don't understand why she doesn't want to talk about them.
That'll be a question for her when she comes in.
Listen, you know, this has done her a favor, to be honest, because I complain about this so often. Because, you know, when Vivek came on, he came on fairly easy. I mean, it wasn't much to get Vivek on the show, or Heather. I mean, they were not big, long processes. So the fact that I've been doing this so long for Amy Acton, the day that she actually appears, I'm sure we'll have quite the audience when she comes on.
You know,
so that'll play for her.
She might be waiting until she gets some primary opposition. Then, you know, the race will really be in the news again.
I'm just, honestly, I'm interested to see what kind of person she is. I mean, I want to pick up on her just demeanor. I've never met the woman.
I mean, based on TV, she was incredible. incredibly friendly and trustworthy. That's the vibe that I got.
If she's that, well, then it'd be fine. You know, Governor DeWine, as I was saying to somebody, maybe it was Mayor Schertzer last night, I was saying when Governor DeWine came over to us at the Little Brown Jug, whether or not you agree with anything DeWine has done or is doing as governor, he is a friendly man. He's got a great demeanor. He's a nice person. That counts for a lot.
That's true. I remember I was in 7th or 8th grade, and he was at one of my friends at a different school. He was at his grandkids' cross-country meet, and some of my friends saw him, and then they took a picture, and they posted it, and I just thought it was the coolest thing. So, you know, he's, you know, an accessible guy. I mean, I guess if you're governor, you have to take pictures with kids if they want to.
But he did that. I should say this is the Brown Jug. After the interview, he went over and took pictures with people who wanted to take pictures. You know, and he was busy that day. He had to go out there and take a picture with the horse, and he had to go out and give a proclamation to Roger, who was signing off after all those years.
But, you know, at the end of the day, if you are the governor of Ohio, if you're a candidate, like, you've got to be willing to, you know, every, you know, hand you shake, every picture you take, that's a vote. And if you brush people off.
But he's not running for anything.
No, but it's sort of like.
I think the one will run for something. I mean, the
I don't
think. He's
treasurer. He's never been treasurer.
And there you go.
he's scaled the mountain. You know, he could run for president in a couple of years.
I don't know that he'd do.
Don't know what he'll do. I don't think DeWine will go away.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna do nothing.
I don't think Jim Tressel's gonna go away either. But I don't know that they're gonna be in office.
Well, on the topic of Jim, I don't know what he does.
Public service,
ooh,
I guess.
Jim Tressel, because
see, you start talking like that, you're never going to get him on.
He's not. I know. Like, he's not going to be governor. At least not the. Which, you know, at some point, with respect to people like Jim Tressel, people are yearning for younger and younger candidates. And as, you know, next 4 years progresses, everyone's going to get 4 years older. So, you know, what does Jim Tressel do? You know, does he take some position on members of a board of an institute? I mean, that's probably what, you know, every politician does when they retire. But, you know, that's what I would be curious to see.
As we sit here this morning, what is the feeling in general about Ohio? We have an election coming up. It's going to be a very local election. But are we going to see Democrats emerge in the middle of this shutdown, in the middle of Trump's approval ratings being low? That's what I'm curious to see. I certainly think that's going to be a bellwether of what's going to happen in 2026.
You know, someone made the point, the government shut down in 2013 in the next year. So it was a Democratic president, Democratic Senate, and a Republican House. And then the next year, the Republicans, they gained like 10 Senate seats. Granted, that was a weird year because there were a lot of red state Dems who retired. So that's something maybe keep, you know, that I think the point there is it's the American voter, with all due respect to them, because this quote will come back to bite me in the future, has a very short attention span. And we're still over a year away from the election. Now, if the Democratic Party, which has, I said this when I ran for delegate a year and a half ago, horrible messaging. If we can somehow message the next year and say, you know, these guys are, you know, they want to take away your health care, but do it in a way that is, you know, that it's like really tangible for people to understand, it'll be good. But we have to utilize the moment and message well.
You know what's funny is we come to the end of this, talking about this Amy Acton thing, and part of it is just having fun with her, to be honest. I mean, yes, we want her on, but it's fun to, you know, we have to do a show every morning. We have to talk about this. But what's funny about, to me, is living in a very red area, Republican area, Jim Jordan's district, is that I always say that everybody, all the Republicans in Marion, think that the journalists are Democrats. The only people who don't think that the journalists are Democrats are the Democrats. So, you know, that's
well,
the way
I mean,
it goes.
I think, you know, it goes to show, you have an event last night, probably 75% Democrats, maybe 80, and then the next morning you spend your second hour just grilling, or not, you weren't grilling David Pepper, but, you know.
No, but that's how you do an interview.
But it was the last half of the last quarter of your show was grilling Democrats in general. So, you know,
but
you
Republicans don't hear that, I don't think. They just block that out.
Well, you know, they all just so happen to not be listening at that particular moment.
Yeah, they're never listening when I have these conversations. But I never grill anybody over their policy. I figure policy questions are for an interview. And an interview is different than what we're doing right now. This is a round table. When I'm interviewing somebody, I'm not giving opinion. I am asking questions. Now, they're hard questions, but that's on you to answer. You know, that's the way that works.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it should be any other way. I do want to say something, though, before we wrap this up here, this portion of the program, because you got to leave, right, Christian?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that David Pepper said I was a good party planner, but really, as far as that goes, that was really your department yesterday. I wasn't. You went and got the napkins and the plates and the forks and the cake and made sure the videos all played.
My concern was that the videos would play and that the music would play when I wanted it to, and it did. So I'm glad we got that done, and I'm glad that the people at Primrose were so gracious and helpful with getting us the chairs and making sure we had the space reserved. And I don't know. It's you know, we were all doing this for. At the end of the day, it was all for Mary Ellen, and the fact that we were able to gather, you know, we were all very lucky to be able to do that on her behalf with such a star-studded lineup.
But you came back from college.
I did.
You did a lot last night, made sure the videos were able to be heard, made sure the televisions were working. When we walked in last night, all we had to do was do the show, and that's nice. That's nice.
It does make it a little easier.
It does. It certainly does. We've had problems in that area before. Thank you, Christian.
Of course.
All right. Matt and I will be back next hour. Don't you dare go anywhere.
Because you've been very kind, very fair. You don't jump in and attack me every time I open my mouth.